There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Here are Zoak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sure, with Joe Judge, again, I got to know him in his first go-round here, and he's not a, first of all, the constant disclaimer, like him, had great conversations with him, certainly would respect his football mind, his acumen, and I'm not surprised he got a crack at a head job because of the cut of his jib. But he coached wide receivers, and during that season, I was told that there were wide receivers who were unhappy with the coaching they were getting to the point where they felt as if Joe Judge didn't know more than them. And there were blow-ups at practice, or at least one that I know of, in which a receiver said, "You don't know what you're talking about."
Tommy Curran appearing on Andrew Callahan's podcast, Pat's Interference, not Pass, but Pat's Interference.
Play on words.
Get it?
It's a turn of phrase.
Get it?
P-A-T-S, no apostrophe.
Pat's Interference. Now, we played that yesterday. We need to follow up on that today. It's a Finish Strong Friday. You ever been a part of one of these, Jones?
Yes, of course.
All right. Well, then you know what it's about.
Yes.
Finish Strong Friday on Zolak and Bertrand, presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electric, and Drains. They're defending the future of the trades program with Ray Bork. Has reached their season goal of $25,000 in scholarships for future tradesmen and women. If you want to start a career in the trades, apply for the scholarship right now at call128.com. That's where you go. Great program that they started in defending the future of the trades. Welcome into the show. That is Tommy Curran talking about Joe Judge, who had a blow up with Patriots receivers, or at least a Patriots receiver in 2019. As we stated yesterday, we believe it is Julian Edelman. I do. You do.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Anyone else want to chime in on that? McTakey, you believe it's Edelman.
I believe it, yes.
You don't think it was Sanu or Antonio Brown in his one-week moonlight here?
I mean, it could have been.
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I mean. I think
it was N'Keal Harry.
I think that Antonio Brown probably has a blow-up with a coach, you know, once a week. But I also don't think that that would be the nature of his blow up with Joe Judge since he was here like 10 days.
Very stable individual.
He's learning the offense. Even as a complete lunatic, I don't think he'd say, "You don't know what you're talking about."
Right.
I know this better than you. That's probably not what he was doing.
Right.
He was probably not spending any time on that.
It's possible, but
yeah. Right.
We all believe at the end of the day, it's probably Edelman. He's the leader of the room. He's the guy who had been there the longest.
He's the guy who would know the offense and his position infinitely better than Joe Judge.
Right. He's the guy there who knows how they'd be coached. Like how you're supposed to be coached versus, you know, the guy who waddled over from the side field where, you know, he was talking to punters and long snappers and holders. It's real football over here, Judge. Joe, we do it differently. Like, that makes sense that Julian Edelman would say that.
And I know what I'm talking about, and you don't.
Right.
And I am more qualified to be doing your job than you are.
Bingo.
I've been here for a decade. I've had monster seasons. I have won Super Bowls. Me, personally, did you see that catch against the Falcons? That was me.
Right.
Hey, I did that, Joe.
Hey, last year, before you started coaching wide receivers, I was the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Suck on that, Joe.
Right.
Right.
I don't need to listen to you.
And who's tight with him?
With who?
Edelman.
Tommy Curran.
Yes.
Yeah, no, they wrote a book together, and I don't think that's any secret.
No.
So, you know, maybe it was Edelman. Maybe, as I heard Felger say yesterday, it could have been Brady. Brady's tight with Tommy Curran.
Good point.
Brady could have said, yeah, the receivers can't stand Joe
Judge.
Yeah,
right.
The receivers are all over that guy.
It's a fair point. The source doesn't have to be.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be Edelman.
Doesn't have to be said receiver who blew up.
No, but I do think it was Edelman that would have had the blow up,
yes.
Whether he was the source or not. Right. It's sort of irrelevant.
Good point.
Right?
No, I'd agree.
Who cares?
I don't really care who the source is.
Could have came from another coach on the staff. Could have been anybody.
Right. The source doesn't matter.
No.
Who the blow up was with kind of matters.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Good way of putting it. So it's Edelman. And I guess what's good for Joe Judge is that I don't know that he'll face the same kind of blow-ups because he doesn't have 10-year vets in the room that know the offense inside and out and come equipped with multiple Super Bowl rings and a Super Bowl MVP that'll be in the room to push back on him. But I would just say this. If Edelman could recognize in 2019, and again, that's an assumption. We don't know it was Edelman, but we're going to keep saying that. Just the facts are a little loose.
We're going to speak it into truth. Yes,
yes, we're going to speak it into truth.
We would never do that.
If Edelman recognized that in 2019, that the guy didn't know what the hell he was talking about, he's still not going to know what the hell he's talking about in 2022.
No.
The only difference this time is he's not going to have players that can overcome his stupidity.
No, I mean, the only difference now is we know Edelman was right. Like, we saw how he coached offense in New York. Now we know Edelman, or whoever, was right. At least in 2019, you might be like, hey, a-hole, listen to the coach. No. Now we know he was right. Got fired, was a disaster, offense got worse, ruined the young first-round quarterback. Whoever the receiver was, Julian Edelman, was right.
And now there's a great sample to look at. Just as you said, the New York Giants experience with Joe Judge. How do you think they feel about it? How do you think the Giants feel about having made him their head coach? How do you think they feel about their quarterback's development over those 2 years? How do you think they feel about the direction they went over the course of those two years with him leading the thing?
I'd say they can't feel too good about it because they fired him, but then they turned around and listened to Bill Belichick again and took another one of his recommendations, the Maras, by bringing in Brian Daboll. So I don't know how burned they feel by it specifically, but no, I don't think they like it very much.
No, I'm sure they don't like Joe Judge. How do Giants fans feel about Joe Judge after his time there?
Not so great.
Went in the wrong direction. They got worse. Their quarterback got worse. The offense regressed.
Yeah, Daniel Jones was okay as a rookie. Not great, but okay.
He didn't get any better.
No, he got worse.
He got worse.
Yeah.
He got worse from when he was a rookie under Joe Judge leading things and acting like a complete tool bag along the way with some of the things he was saying the entire time and some of the lies he got caught in with former players. They're accusing him of being completely full of crap.
It's never happened before with a former Belichick assistant. Never.
No. I
feel like I've never heard this story.
I would say that Patricia and Judge together, coming back and leading the offense, you could not pick two guys that failed more spectacularly after leaving the Patriots. And I'm even including McDaniels in Denver.
I mean, McDaniels is a big failure. McDaniels didn't even make it through 2 years. That's how big of a disaster he was.
Again, he got caught with the video cameras. You know, he brought that program with him to Denver, and that was a big part of him having to go.
Fair.
Right? So I sort of understand that he didn't get his full shot and he has learned the error of his ways.
Yeah, he at least started hot though.
He did. He had moments.
Yeah,
he had moments.
Wasn't he like 6-0?
Yeah. I think he started 6-0 is correct and then, you know, barely won a game again. But I would just say I think McDaniels is a better coach than those two.
Yes.
I would say he failed and flamed out pretty spectacularly. And I would say having a cheating scandal on your resume, not so hot.
That's Patriot-like, though.
No, of course it's very Patriot-like.
Patriot way.
I just say that's not exactly a great look for him. Like, I don't think Judge or Patricia have any cheating scandals we know about.
Him and Dante Scarnecchia's son.
Yes.
I mean, those are real Patriots there, man. That's part of the program.
It's the Patriot way in a couple of different ways.
Yes.
It's number one, cheat. And number two, bring your the kid of your buddy.
Bring your friends. Bring the kid of your friend.
Who should we hire
for this job?
I don't know. Scarnecchia's kid needs a job. Bring him in.
Let's have him here. But I just think that when you look at this and there's more of these examples of things that went wrong for these two guys when they left and then they come back and now they're going to run the offense. It's negligence is what it is. That's what this coaching staff is. It really is hard to get over that this is what they're going to go with.
I mean, there are still times where I can't believe it. And then there are times where it makes sense. Not that it's the right call or rational, just it makes sense that Bill would do this. It's like, he finally had a bounce back year, right? He did have a bounce back year. You know, yes. I think it was a little overrated, but it was a bounce back year. And, you know, Bill relinquished a little bit of power last year. The team got better. People leave, and he sucked up all the power in the vacuum. I mean, that's what he's doing. He has empowered himself to work more on the offense and have more say in personnel. And I think that's how Bill wants things run. Whether it's good or bad for the team, it's good for him. And I think that's how he wants it run.
I'm not sure if you caught any of Devontae Parker talking to the media.
I don't know if I heard it. I read a bunch of it. I don't know if I actually heard any of the audio.
The audio is just okay. You're probably fine just reading the quotes on that one. But there's been sort of this idea that Matt Patricia was a driving force behind getting Devontae Parker to New England.
Yeah, Matt Groh singled him out, right?
Right.
When Matt Groh spoke with the media last
week. Yeah, oh, Matt Patricia really jumped all over that one. Yeah, really that foresight to be able to like, whoa, we might be able to pry the third receiver out of Miami.
Fourth
receiver. We might be able to pry that fourth receiver out of Miami. Here's Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, on that.
Might be a voice in here, too, that triggers Jones a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. What a trigger warning.
Vast experiences does Matt Patricia have on the pro personnel side? Other than, yes, he was the head coach of the Detroit Lions. I get that. And you delve in pro personnel, you have different players. I understand he can be helpful in that, but he does not have pro personnel experience. He doesn't. Like I don't know what he's talking about there. Then he goes into the Devontae Parker trade and he said, I would say Matt Patricia did a great job of being on that early and kind of getting the information to us as quickly as he could. Matt Patricia was the first guy in the National Football League to be on that. Every front office wasn't saying the exact same thing. Again, what are we talking about here? Why do we need to be overly praising Matt Patricia for everything he does? Again, I think he's smart. I think he's a good football coach. Yeah. I think he's going to help here. But what the hell are they doing down there? Why are they talking about Matt Patricia? And why are they being so, you know, overflow with their praise? I just don't get it. I don't understand it.
Why does he not understand this? I don't understand how he does. I mean, Greg's a smart guy. Greg, they're just pumping up their guys.
It's a sell job.
This is what they do. They're selling their guy. They're selling it. They always want to be.
Okay, but why?
Because they enjoy it. Because they have egos. Because that's what they do. And they also want to try and create this sense of like real legitimacy to what is an illegitimate coaching staff.
Well, so that's what
it comes down to. And Bill always brings back the guys that he has the power over, right, that are somehow indebted to him, Joe Judge, Matt Patricia. And in addition to that, all the players that come here have to tell you, oh, an opportunity to play for Bill Belichick.
I'd love to play for the coach who's 17-17 the last 2 years and couldn't force the Bills to punt. That's who I want to play for.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's this thing about, oh, couldn't pass up a chance to play for Bill Belichick. Oh, couldn't pass up a chance to do that. And Devontae Parker had some of that yesterday. Well, the Patriots were high on his list. It's so bogus, and you know who basically called it bogus? The GM of the Dolphins. Chris Greer said as much. We'll get into that coming up, because he made it pretty clear why Devontae Parker ended up in New England, and it wasn't because of Matt Patricia, and it wasn't because of anything that the player wanted. The player talking to the agent, none of that mattered. The Patriots paid the most. We'll get to that coming up. 617-779-0985. We start a little Patriots today. We'll get to Deebo Samuel this hour as well. Stick around.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time, and I ran over with a tire. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is it true that your preference was to be traded to the Patriots? And if so, why?
What about the Patriots is appealing to you?
That was true. And I would say because I know the Patriots have a great organization. And you know, the fans here is just outstanding. And I know from experience coming in here and you know, how the fans were. And that's just something I want to be a part of.
Absolutely.
You hear it all the time, don't you, Beetle? That great environment at Gillette.
The fans at Gillette. What I have heard is Patriots players actually complain about it not being loud enough. Devontae Parker coming to the Patriots was a trade. He wasn't a free agent. He couldn't pick his team.
He doesn't have like a no-trade clause.
He may have had a list of teams that he could have gone to, maybe, but I'm not even sure I believe that. Chris Greer, GM of the Dolphins, said this. Once we made the trade for Tyreek Hill, we received multiple phone calls. I think most teams assumed that Devontae would be available. Okay, so there goes that Matt Patricia thought that it was a brilliant stroke by Matt Patricia, considering a bunch of teams called.
A whole mess of teams called, including Matt Patricia.
Oh, hey, you traded Tyreek Hill? Oh, okay, well, we'd like to trade for Devontae Parker now. He goes, multiple teams called. The Patriots were the most aggressive. So when he says the most aggressive, do you think that means they called the most? They called, emailed, and texted? They left voicemails. They called the office line and the mobile?
FaceTime.
Or do you think he's talking about what they
offered? Hey, it's Matt again on FaceTime.
Yep.
Or do you think it was about the offer? Because then in his next sentence, Chris Greer does say, at the end of the day, worked with his agent, talked to Devontae, wanted to do right by him too as well. But that third round pick was very important for us, and we were fine with it being this year or next. He goes right back to what he's actually talking about. The Patriots paid the most.
Yeah.
They are in the division. They needed to pay the most to get the player, and they did. So there's no brilliance in trading for Devontae Parker. You called, like a bunch of other teams did. You had the best offer. They gave you the player. Oh, I picked New England because of the fans. You didn't pick anything. You didn't pick New England. Not that I don't like the player, but stop. You weren't a free agent. You didn't pick the place. You know what? The Dolphins gave you a list, and they said, well, you just pick your team, Devontae. That's what it is. We'll take a fourth or fifth round pick if you want to go to a different team. Or they said, hey, start like in New England. That's where it looks like you're going.
Yeah, and to me, again,
they even sent us a fax.
If the Dolphins wanted to take a little less, did the Telegraph come in yet? If they wanted to take a little less from another team because the Patriots are in their division, fine. But I think they did the right thing. I think they 100% did the right thing. They got the most for a player that they weren't going to use. They're not afraid of Devontae Parker beating them. They traded him in the division because they got the most. So I like that the Dolphins weren't afraid of this. They didn't say, we could get a third rounder from New England, but we got to play him twice a year. Or we could get a fourth rounder from, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, and he's out of our conference and out of our division. Let's take the fourth rounder. That's scared. That's stupid.
They're not afraid of the Patriots.
They're not afraid of the Patriots, and they're not afraid of Devontae Parker. And you know what? They shouldn't be. He's fine. He's an upgrade in their receiver room, but he's not anything special. He's really not. So I wouldn't be afraid of him.
Things they don't have.
Sure.
And he's an upgrade.
Sure.
But
the receiver room was severely lacking, though. Like, there's a lot of receivers who would have given their receiver room something they didn't have. Their receiver room sucked.
I agree with that.
And it still sucks.
Do you like the deal? You know, you and I haven't spoken about this. I know you spoke about it on the Adam Jones program.
Yes.
You're in favor of the deal.
I mean, yes. I don't want to overreact to what he is. That's all. Yes, it's a fine deal.
Biggest concern is, does he play? Does he play enough? Does he stay healthy? Does he stay on the field?
Sure.
Those are all legitimate concerns. But I am, at the end of the day, happy they did this deal.
And that's a reasonable concern. He's been injured a lot, so that is a reasonable concern. I also wonder if he's the right kind of receiver for Mac Jones. Mac's not a downfield thrower. He's just not. The metrics don't bear that out. That was the knock on him at Alabama. That was a knock on him in his rookie year. So I wonder if the skill set meshes with Mac, but if they want to bring in this kind of player for a couple of mid-round picks, I'm fine with it. I think that's value-wise, it's an okay trade. I just wouldn't pretend like he's some stud number one. And I feel like fans were so starved for any crumb of excitement in free agency in the offseason period that they overdid it a little bit. And I think the team has oversold it a little bit.
Well,
but
it's a good trade. Matt Patricia did use a carrier pigeon.
It's true.
Okay. In addition to all the other lines of communication that he opened, telegrams, carrier pigeons, emails, faxes,
good point.
Text messages,
AIM.
AIM. He fired up the old AOL account for this one.
In fact, his away message might have been, "Hey, Dolphins." And like, I'm away right now, but hey, if it's the Dolphins, I'll take it, right? Like, that might have been his away message with like some Bob Marley lyrics in the
He told the switchboard operator at Gillette, if Chris you put Greer that right calls, you put Chris Greer right through to me. You understand?
I'm not taking any calls unless it's the Dolphins. I will not sleep until we get Devontae Parker.
Oh, what a brilliant move. What a brilliant move to call a team with an excess wide receiver and say, we'll pay you the most.
So let me go back to it.
What do you got there, T-Bone?
What is that?
What is that sound effect?
Is that FaceTime?
You got mail.
Oh. Now that's from AIM, right? What was that? When you log out, what was that noise? Was that an hour long clip of them?
Of just sound effects from AOL.
When somebody signs out. That was like when, yeah, that's, oh, there you go. There
that's you a go. Friend gone. Coming or going,
yep.
right?
Yep.
On your friends list.
They're going.
No, they're coming because I'm fairly certain you get the door slamming.
Let me hear that again. Yeah, maybe McCarthy's right. Maybe
the creaking is the opening.
McCarthy's
right.
Yeah, no, McCarthy's right. Maybe your friend just.
So it's
just
coming.
Yeah, and you're like.
They've logged on.
You're like,
there you go.
Yep, there's the exit.
Yep, that's the exit.
There's
you're right.
the exit right there.
You're like, oh, crap. Is that hot girl from Math on? Oh, no, not her. Just my same idiot buddy. And then somebody logs out. Yeah. Oh, that's a nostalgia trip
right
there.
What a throwback right there.
I miss AIM.
Can't believe they shut that down, that has no place in this
like,
world
I have
anymore.
Not personally used it, obviously, in a long time, but like you could, it doesn't
it's
exist
done.
Anymore,
it doesn't
right?
exist
like,
anymore.
You guys were using it on pregame, of like a year ago.
Yes, so we still used it in-house for some things here.
A year ago?
I want to say like two or three seasons ago.
Seriously?
Yeah, we would all log on to AIM.
I'm so jealous.
Because it was more reliable than we were trying to use Google Chat or whatever it is for a bit, and that wasn't as reliable. AIM was a reliable instant way to
have, you guys all have
messaging
away.
On your screen.
Did you all do away messages?
Of course.
I want to know what Sarah's away message.
Did you have like a survey in your profile where you're like, how well do you know me? And you all had like those little surveys in there?
I don't know that I did any of those.
His profile said his graduation date. And then...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I had Bob Marley lyrics and like a survey. And
well, it was Patriots game day, so I would just put like the lyrics to Crazy Train in there.
Nice.
You know,
that makes sense.
Know what I was doing.
That makes
going
sense.
Off the
Go
rails.
Pats.
Hashtag LFG.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes
yes.
sense.
Yes. Go Pats football.
Little squiggly lines in the asterisk.
Yep. You know it. 617-779-0985. Let's get to some of your calls on this Finish Strong Friday. Let's go to Nick in the car. Thanks for hanging on, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like Bill's slowly laying the foundation to our worst nightmare and kind of prepping it for when he leaves to have Patricia take over. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think he would love that. I just don't think that it is up to Bill. I don't think it is. I don't think Bill's going to have a real say.
I'll tell you what.
The next head coach is.
I'll tell you what.
He might think he's going to have a say, but he won't.
I've said this half jokingly before, and look, the crafts might be high on Patricia for all I know.
I hope not.
I also hope not.
And people have said they are, but I wonder where that comes from.
I
wonder the source of that.
Oh, you do?
Well, if you're trying to prop up a guy, as I believe that they've tried to prop up this individual and others, wouldn't you want to throw that out there?
Yeah,
wouldn't you want to float that idea?
Yeah, it's not just Bill's Bobo.
Oh,
the crafts like him.
No, the crafts like him, too.
No, it's true.
I don't know if I buy that.
So I've said this half-jokingly before, and I don't know if this is part of Bill's motivation or not, but like if you're Belichick and, you know, morons like me at night are talking about how Bill has lost a step and, you know, you wonder how much longer Bill can do it. And did he really ever have it or was it just Tom Brady? Like that sort of thing. You want to push back on that narrative? Well, bring in Matt Patricia after you're done and watch this thing crash and burn. You'll look a hell of a lot better. Oh, you guys wanted me out? Oh, you didn't want me to be head coach anymore? Here's Matt Patricia in your face. Have fun with that. Like that would make Bill look a lot better. Kind of flies in the face of Bill wanting to leave things on the rails and in a good place, but it'd make him look better, and it'd really make people like me who were pining for a new person in here, look a lot worse.
Christine in Connecticut. Hi, Christine.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How you doing? I heard a while ago that Belichick's budget for coaches was set, and whatever he didn't spend, he pocketed. Wouldn't that make sense that he brings in coaches that are being paid by other teams and you won't see Patricia near the defensive side of the ball because he doesn't want the light to shine on anybody but his kid.
All right, so I don't know that it's I think Christine's on to something there. I don't know that it's dollar for dollar like a rebate program for every dollar you don't spend on this coach and the coaching budget.
Is Patricia still free?
It ends up back in, yeah, I believe so.
He is, okay.
Well, they got to pay him a salary, but if you leave him with this vague title, you don't have to pay him something that's commensurate with being a coordinator.
Oh, I see. I just didn't know. I didn't know if he was still getting paid by Detroit.
No, there is. There's offset money in there. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, listen, when you have a cheap coaching staff, you allow yourself to have a bigger salary, right?
Yeah, if there's a coaching budget and the head coach's salary comes out of the coaching budget.
You, when you go in to you know, negotiate your own salary, you have a case that you deserve X because you make up for much of the staff because you feel like you don't need high-priced assistants.
And you have one of the smallest staffs in the NFL, and half of them are getting paid by another organization, and the other half are, you know, your kids and your buddy's kids and your kids' buddies. And so, yeah, that's cheap and it's easy and you can get paid more.
All right, more of your calls are coming up on Finish Strong Friday on this. And also, one football writer has the Patriots as the number two trade destination for Deebo Samuel. Number two. But there's obviously one team ahead of the Patriots. And if he were to land there, what would it mean? We'll tell you who that team is coming up. Beer the headlines with Matt McCarthy.
There's always a reason for better health. And here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Serious question, does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, listen, he's a good player, Phil. I don't know if he's that good. And with that contract, I mean, he'd be coming in on the last year of a rookie deal.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I do. And so I'm not going to go quite as far as Michael Hawley did, but I love watching this guy play because he can use him really anywhere on the field. We know he's been used extensively out of the backfield there in San Francisco, but he can run routes and he can be an explosive receiver if he's just playing receiver. He is a machine when it comes to 20-plus yard gains, 30-plus yard gains. So if you're looking to get more explosive as an offense, which I think the Patriots should be looking for, if you're looking to get more dynamic and harder to defend, this guy is perfect. You have to be willing to give up the capital it would take to get that guy. And given the recent prices that we've seen be given up for top tier types of receivers, the cost is going to be astronomical there. And that's not even getting into the contract. So there are a number of hurdles here for Deebo Samuel to actually make his way to Foxborough at some point in time.
Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, talking with Trenny on Early Edition, talking about how the Patriots could afford to get more explosive offensively and do it with Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel has asked the 49ers for a trade. And Connor Orr at Sports Illustrated has a story that if Samuel's time in San Francisco really is finished, the 49ers need to figure out where he's going to end up. And he writes, NFC teams not apply. Deebo will be traded to the AFC in his mind. He lists the...
Just jumping in quickly. Isn't that stupid for what we just talked about? Like, shouldn't the Niners trade him in the... I mean, he's a much more dangerous player than DeVante Parker, but like, I don't know. What if you can get a better trade in the NFC? Trade him in the NFC.
I'm with you on that.
Right?
I would.
Like, I think
But I know a lot of teams don't like doing that.
No, I know, because they're afraid of looking stupid. But if you're afraid of looking stupid, then keep the player. You know? Then keep him.
I think they want to keep the player. They're trying to pay the player, and the player doesn't want to be there anymore.
Okay, well then franchise him or call his bluff or whatever. But so, if you're going to trade him, I'd try to get the most for him. That's what I would try to do.
A couple of things I'd want to know about Deebo Samuel is him saying that he doesn't want to take the football anymore. in terms of
being like a running back,
being used in other ways.
Yep.
If it's real, then that diminishes his value, because that is, whether he likes it or not, a big part of his game.
100%.
He averages like four carries a game. So if he doesn't want to do that anymore, okay, that changes the equation just a little bit, because as Phil told you a moment ago, guy is still a great receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could just use him as a straight receiver, and he's going to make plays, and he's going to make you explosive, and he's very good at just doing that part of his job. So Connor Warhead's team number one is the New York Jets. And they were reportedly in on Tyreek Hill and were, you know, pushing to try and make that deal. So he has the Jets as number one, the Patriots as number two. Ravens are third, Colts are fourth, Chiefs are fifth on the list, and then it goes to Jacksonville, where nobody wants to end up. So if the Patriots are two, okay, interesting. He writes, the Patriots and 49ers connected on the all-time do-me-a-solid trade that sent Jimmy Garoppolo out west for pennies. Perhaps the relationship has remained friendly enough that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are willing to send a player back in the other direction. The Patriots popularized the wide receiver running back blurring of the lines with Cordarrelle Patterson a few years back, which might scare Samuel off. So too, the Patriots' unproven combination of offensive coordinators in the post-Josh McDaniels era. This is how this ties back into what we started the show with, which is if Deebo Samuel comes into the room and he sits there and listens to Matt Patricia, he might say, what the hell? What? What are you guys talking about? Just in terms of coaching him up on playing the position.
Weren't you the disaster in Detroit? Why am I listening to you?
Why am I listening to this guy?
Why are you telling me how to play the receiver position?
What about number one, though? What if he does go to the New York Jets? What if the Jets try to become a legitimate team in this division?
They'll fail at it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I guess I don't totally dismiss that, but all of a sudden, that means people smell blood in the water. Like, the Dolphins smell blood in the water. They don't care. They'll trade you Devontae Parker. They're not afraid of you. If Brady were here, the Dolphins wouldn't have done that. And Parker would be the same player, but, like, there's a chance that Brady would make it, you know, make you look really stupid and really dumb, and it would look really bad. You know, the Jets would be doing the same thing. They tried to get Tyreek Hill just like the Dolphins landed Tyreek Hill. They all smell blood in the water. I mean, Buffalo's already finished with you. Part of the reason there's blood in the water is because Buffalo ripped off all your limbs last year and the last couple of years. So there is blood in the water. And the Jets and Dolphins are just feasting on it. That's what it would mean to me if they went and got Deebo Samuel. And by the way, if I were the Jets, you have two first-round picks. And I know they're both high. I wouldn't rule out trading 10. Like, I know that everything you read, they're talking about trading two second-round picks for Tyreek Hill and maybe the same type of deal for Deebo Samuel. I'd consider trading 10.
Not to mention, it helps your young quarterback, and I'm not a believer in Zach Wilson, but you got to do everything within your power to try and get your young quarterback on the right track.
Well,
and
yeah.
That's what frustrates me so much about this offseason for the Patriots, is you're not doing everything in your power to get the absolute most out of Mac Jones. And the number one concern, of course, is the coaching staff. But that's why the Patriots should be aggressive on this. That would help Mac Jones.
I have no faith that they will even be involved.
No.
On the player.
100%.
None. 100%. It would shock me, but of course we'd love it.
Yeah. He'd be perfect for two reasons. One, if you can move him around the formation, mm-hmm. then that's great. If as long as he's open to that, that's ideal for Bill. And I agree with what Phil Perry said in the rejoin there. And it ties into what I was talking about earlier with Devontae Parker. I don't know how Devontae Parker's skill set meshes with Mac, like a jump ball downfield receiver. Deebo Samuel's perfect. Throw it to him 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He'll go get 60 yards for you.
Was it you or was it Chris Gasper that I told the other day that the yards after the catch with Deebo Samuel is second in the league last year behind only Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
And I said, this is the type of thing.
That's what they need.
That could make this offense.
It wasn't me, so you must have said that to Gasper.
I must have said it to, maybe it was Ted. I don't know. It's been Beadle and Friends this
Beadle
week.
And Friends all week.
But
yeah,
we were talking about this the other day, and I said the thing that's the most attractive about the player is you get him the ball and he'll make the play after the catch.
Mac at the line of scrimmage, lethal.
Yes.
Mac 15, 20 yards downfield, not so hot, at least last year. So to me, like that would mesh very, very well with his skill set. So the Patriots should. I would love them to, but I don't think there's any chance they do. I'm with you.
Mike in Rhode Island. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First off, Jones, take off the Celtics shirt. I'd rather have you.
It's a Marcus Smart shirt today.
Now,
he's celebrating Defensive Player of the Year,
yes,
Marcus Smart.
Now, I do want to give credit. I'll give the proper credit to the proper listener out there, but I made a bet apparently mid-season that I have no recollection of, but it very much sounds like me, that if Marcus Smart were to win defensive player of the year, I would sport his jersey. I interpreted that as t-shirt jersey. I wasn't going to foot the bill on a full jersey. But yes, this is a Marcus Smart t-shirt.
That's
jersey.
Fair.
That yes. qualifies.
Yes.
That's fair. So I'm here for the Patriots receiver room slander. I'm not here for it. I think Kendrick Bourne's going to have an outstanding year. Now, granted, I would love Deebo Samuel, but I think we'll be just fine with our receiver room upgrading with Parker, and Bourne's going to have a breakout year. So,
yeah, listen, I like Bourne. He's my favorite guy in that room right now. My only concern about Parker is his health. If he plays, if Parker plays every game, and Kendrick Bourne is playing every game, they'll be, I think, pretty improved from where they were a year ago. I think they will. I think it's a pretty significant.
They should be better
with Parker if he plays.
They should be better because
they will.
Max should also improve too. I'm not saying the receiver room didn't get better. I still think that's a bottom half of the league receiver room. But
yeah, I don't
disagree
with
that. But it would be better.
Yeah. And it's been so bad at times over the last 4 or 5 years that I think right now they're in a decent place compared to where they've been at certain moments.
That's probably
those
fair
guys
too.
Belong in the league.
Yeah.
Which is a hell of a lot more than you can say for, you know, what you had here around here in 2019.
Now, even Nelson Agholor, who I'm not a fan of, but Agholor, Bourne,
real receivers.
Parker, these are all real NFL receivers. These guys are not bottom of the roster, barely making it in the league. You know, this is not Kenbrell Tompkins out there. These are guys that belong in the league and have real careers in the league because they're NFL players. So that is something that is an upgrade over some previous times. 617-779-0985 on this Finish Strong Friday. Any follow-up thoughts from you guys today on the Don Orsillo disaster?
Ooh, like new thoughts?
I got more than a few.
Do you?
Yeah.
I just still think the Red Sox are idiots. I'd like to hear your thoughts, though.
Yeah. No, I think there are different ways to get in the weeds on how they're idiots. We'll do it next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I want to thank my friend and partner, Jerry Remy, for 15 years. We've been through so much together on the field and off the field, and I thank you so much for being one of my very best friends. Our director and my friend, Michael Narachi, who I have worked with for 17 years, dating back to the Pawtucket Red Sox, and I thank him so much for everything he has done, and our great crew at Fenway Park, who has been with me for the 15 years. To my parents, who made my 10 years of minor league work possible, the Orsillos and Nolans, to all of you, from Chelsea to Melrose to Stoneham.
All right, that was Don Orsillo back in 2015 when he left. Look at T-Bone going back into the archives for that tearjerker right there. I got a couple of thoughts, a couple of follow-up thoughts.
Yeah, you have like new thoughts on that.
Well,
I guess
here's what I have. I have new information. Because let me tell you something.
See, Beetle's he's a plugged-in guy.
No, Fenway Park.
Sneaky connected.
I don't think it's sneaky. I just think he's
not sneaky.
He's
McCarthy
a plugged
knows this. Got a lot of people that
guy.
Talk to me. A lot of people that like talking to me. I don't know why.
Because you're local, so people like you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a nice person, so people like you.
It's nice of you to say that you know, a nice person.
So like,
maybe you should try.
I tell people all the time.
I don't even want information. It ruins the takes. I don't want any information.
I tell people all the time. I'm like, if you knew Jones off air, he's a great guy.
He's
I don't see what's wrong.
He's a complete a-hole with his sports takes, but in real life, he's a genuinely good dude. I do. I tell people that.
That's nice.
I even tell people that about Felger. I'm like, oh no, Felger's a great guy. What are you talking about? I don't care about his takes. Let me tell you, Jersey Street in Fenway Park is leaking like a sieve these last couple of days.
I mean, hearing stuff, Beetle, I'm not connected to you.
Oh my God, am I hearing?
I'm hearing stuff.
I'm hearing from people left and right, from the Watertown headquarters of Nesson to the Fenway Park. Oh my God, there are people talking.
You're very trustworthy and easy to open up to and talk to.
I still got nothing.
You got nothing?
No, I still have not. My phone has not
leaking like a sieve. Like a sieve. Here's what I think happened. Well, first of all, a couple of clarifications. The video was never taped.
Oh.
I was right on that.
Ooh.
The video was never taped, and no one is disputing that.
Not even Don.
No. The video was never taped because after having arranged for a crew in his home ballpark and home base of San Diego to have a crew there to film it professionally and link up with Nesson, and there was plenty of contact with Nesson on this, the arrangements were being made to have a crew there to tape it and then link up and have it a professional video. You know,
Not
on your iPhone.
Lit properly
in the booth, where they typically would film things.
Sure.
As he did the exact same thing for the Dustin Pedroia tribute that took place last season, he taped it in the Padres booth. Do you remember that?
I don't, but professional clean.
Do we have that? Do we have that? That's when he did this.
Ball player. Hold on. What you did on the field.
That's his college coach, Pedroia's
college
coach.
I know the city of Boston loves you. They had to. You know, you represented every hardworking guy that just gets it done. And you got it done at a level like no one could imagine.
I once said if you had 25 Dustin Pedroias, you would win every day. The ultimate gamer from the first pitch to the last pitch. A huge heart, a true dirt.
So that's the pop of the crowd when they put Orsillo up on the board last year, which I don't think was actually legitimately their concern, to be honest with you.
Oh, I think those petty a-holes, that's exactly what they were worried about. So but you and McCarthy are on the same page.
They were arranged for the crew to tape this thing out in San Diego and send it, and that is when the plug was pulled from Boston. And that came from above. Now, how far above is really the question. There's specific people that are taking the hit that are being made out to be the scapegoats over there. That's all I know. There's one particular Nesson producer that is being made out to be a scapegoat. The director of Red Sox Productions also being made out to be a scapegoat on this.
And it comes from above them.
They want nothing to do with it because they look bad. Yes. So here's what I really think did happen. Someone was so unaware and did not at any point think, gee, we should really make an effort to make sure that Orsillo's video is in there. There was a concern about former players getting upset that if they did do videos and they did not get a chance to do a video, that they were going to be pissed off and they didn't want to piss off some particular recent former players.
I see.
And it factored into the decision. And I'm like, let them take videos too then, idiots.
Yeah,
let them all do it.
But I at least understand that because remember the blowback when the players like skipped out on Pesky's funeral?
Yes.
So the players don't want to be made to be like,
Four players went to Pesky's funeral. Four players. Ortiz was the guy who went. Saltalamacchia was one of the guys who went.
Little Leader didn't make it, right?
I don't believe Little League. And Bobby Valentine will tell you that they never told the players when it was. They were out on the road and then told them when they got back here to Boston on the flight back overnight. And then it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And they're like, the Pesky's funeral's in 5 hours.
Was that in the new Bobby V thing?
That is in the new Bobby V thing.
Did you watch that?
Yeah.
Good?
I've
heard it's good.
I've seen a couple of clips. I've not seen the whole thing, but it looks good.
Good. Watch it. NBC Sports Boston and NBC 10 app is where you can get that. Craig Gilani put that together.
The other name was Vicente Padilla.
No, it wasn't.
Seriously?
And Clay Buchholz?
Buchholz and Vicente Padilla, those were the guys.
Wow.
I knew that Saltalamacchia and Ortiz were there.
He's a big team guy, famously.
But yeah, so the tape doesn't exist. And the thing I just can't get over is this just that inconsistent messaging. And it's like, you got to go one way or the other. This is what I think stands out about the statements yesterday, Sam Kennedy's or Pam Ken's. No one there's got any balls. There's no guts. Like, either just apologize and say, we screwed up and own it, or go the other way and bury Don Orsillo and call him an a-hole.
Right.
Like, go one way or the other.
Right.
Like, it's so sackless, everything they do.
Right. Like, we tried to line something up, but I guess they've kind of tried to do that. But no, it's a mistake. It's obviously a mistake. It makes them look horrible. Whether they did it intentionally or not, it makes them look horrible. So just own it. Exactly.
I think the thing that makes it worse is the reaction to it in the end. All right, so you screwed up, or you don't care about Don Orsillo, and you're completely unaware that your fans completely care about Don Orsillo in a big way. So you're stupid, and you screwed up. And now you want to put the maybe we could have... Stop. It's go one way or the other. Either own it and be apologetic and say, we're sorry to Don Orsillo, we're sorry to everybody involved, we made a mistake. And people would at least respect that you apologized and own it. Or go the other way and say, nah, Don Orsillo hasn't been here in 7 years and he's not that important to us. And, you know, we didn't do videos, so we didn't even give him the option. Oh, important detail.
Go ahead, but hang on. If they did that, we would crush them if they did that.
Yeah, but at least I respect that they have some guts to go one way or the other.
At least to be honest.
I don't know if I'd respect that.
This in the middle and saying nothing statement is a waste of time. The video idea was not Don Orsillo's. It was theirs, by the way.
To do the video.
It's the Red Sox.
And then they pulled the plug.
So you asked me to
talk
do,
about getting
you asked me to do something. I get ready to do it.
That's why he's so hot about it. He's pissed off.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
And by the way, there was no like last minute thing either. This was being discussed weeks ago.
Leaking like a sieve over there.
Wasn't a last minute thing. Leaking like a sieve.
I got to check.
Throwing people under the bus like you wouldn't believe.
So I haven't
how
checked
high
my.
Does this go? That's what I want to know.
I haven't checked my instant messenger account in a while. Maybe all my info is being forwarded there. Maybe that's why I'm missing out on all the good intel
under the bus. When you start hearing like a producer's name at Nesson, you're like, what? For what? Wait, we're blaming Red Sox Productions now?
Yeah.
You're right.
Orsillo out.
Like what? What are we doing here? But maybe it's the truth. Maybe it's just it is the truth, and they let people that don't have a clue make real decisions there. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's just a poorly run organization.
It's just a poorly run organization. And their
checks out.
Their PR responses historically over a 20-year run would tell you they are not the best run organization from that standpoint.
They've struggled. They've struggled mightily
there on a number of fronts.
Yeah.
So they're just bad at it. I just wish they'd be better at that part. They just have no grasp on how their statements would read yesterday. Did anyone read Sam Kennedy's statement and feel better about the Red Sox?
No, not
a single person.
A steaming pile of crap.
Not a single person would be stupid enough to read that and say, oh, I agree. I see the Red Sox side. What are you doing? Don't even put that out.
Yeah,
and if you're going to put that out, don't put anything out. Ignore it. Move on. And get the hell off Twitter.
And in the future, if you're going to put out a statement, maybe include Don Orsillo's name. Maybe at least mention his name.
That gave the impression yesterday that they still want to talk smack about Don Orsillo. That he's beneath them, and they don't want to acknowledge him. They didn't ask you about the ceremony. They asked you about Don Orsillo. That's why we're here for a statement. What's your response? We loved everybody who came.
So much thought, consideration, and love was put into yesterday's ceremony.
Get off it. Please. They're so bad at this. They're so bad. They need to hire some new people in that front.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. But
someone that has a clue as to how their fan base is going to respond to the things they do and they say. Someone. Hire someone. Hire someone local. Right?
Local guy.
Good guy. Hire someone who knows what the hell they're doing.
Sure.
People in Quincy know what
someone in the room was going to say, hold on
local,
a second.
Local guy or girl.
Hold on, idiots. Do you know how this is going to play if we don't have Don Orsillo's video in there? Morons.
Yeah.
You know?
Get a clue.
You idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, but what about David Ortiz if he wants a video? We'll give him two. We've got all day.
Or just draw
literally
the line
all
there.
Day here.
You're literally talking about his most iconic broadcast.
What if Dustin Pedroia wants to do a video? We're going to give him one too, because you know why? We're here to put on a production for the fans, and the fans are going to love it. If we're, and listen, as much as it's about Jerry Remy's family, it's also for all the people in the ballpark and on TV. You're not doing this in public because it's just about Jerry's family. It's about all the fans and including them in this. So let's remember that. Oh, no, we're going to have to include some former players that are more recent in a video. Oh, what are we going to do?
Yeah, wasn't he president of Red Sox Nation?
What are we going to do about that?
How many production crews are we sending out? I'm not footing that bill.
Like, what? Just do it. Do what's the right thing to do. And remember the fans. But they don't. I don't think they do that. I think they're just so wrapped up in themselves.
Yeah.
They just have a bad understanding of their fan base.
They need a media relations person for, like, common sense.
Yes.
That's what they need.
Yes, they need a common sense candidate in there. It's not necessarily media relations. It's just, it's really public relations.
No, you're right.
Get a clue guy.
PR is right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yep. The get a clue guy.
They need a get a clue guy in there. Yeah.
Hold on.
They might be too PR conscious.
Well, if they're too PR conscious, they are really failing miserably because they look.
Oh, because I agree with Jones.
What's that?
About the Orsillo thing. They didn't want the pop.
It's possible. It's certainly possible. Either way, they look really bad because they're either dealing with complete ineptitude or they're dealing with complete pettiness. And there's no way around those two things. You're either inept and you're completely unaware, or you're just a petty bunch of a-holes.
I think they're petty a-holes.
And
I think they're both.
I think they're both. I think it's a blend of the two.
I thought you just presented it as a choice I was picking. But yeah, fine. I'll go with both.
But it might be a blend of the two. Like, we're part petty, but we also, we don't know what we're doing.
I'm petty a-hole on my mother's side.
Yeah.
But on my father's side, I'm a little, PR unconscious there.
They're going to get someone in there that knows what they're doing. We're late. We got to get to headlines. We're right back.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.